Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be coming to you right here on WMAF. This is your hometown radio station right there in Madison, Florida. And we pray that we can be part of your hometown ministry there. Even though we originate in Tampa, this is where we broadcast from, right here in Madison. And we're so grateful that this radio station is connected to the World Wide Web, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ not only goes to Madison, Florida, but it also goes to anywhere in the world. Past Mother's Day, we had an increase in downloads for one day. Mother's Day alone, we had 23 downloads from the United Kingdom from our website. And we're just so grateful that someone is listening to WMAF around the world, as well as hearing this broadcast. The reason we know that this broadcast is going to those places, because since I've been announcing our website, we have had an increase in downloads from our website in places I would have never dreamed that I would be preaching the gospel. So we're grateful for this little station and in this community of Madison. And we're thankful for the way God is blessing the broadcast and blessing the station. And we're just happy to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF. And for you in Madison, we feel like we know you, because we've been coming to you now for many, many months. And we pray that we are a blessing to you. That is our sole intention, is to edify and build up the body of Christ and to reach out to people who really don't know or understand the gospel, or know about it, and they're just putting off that final decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, I pray you'll stay tuned today, because we've got a wonderful subject to bring you from the Word of God. But first, I want to give you our website once again. If you are listening by computer, or if you know someone who is connected to the World Wide Web and has a computer, if you just tell them to type in on their search engine, preferably Google. I know on Google it'll come up on the first page, THCOG, or they can type in my name, Pastor, but put Pastor in the front of it, Pastor Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T, V-E-N-A-B-L-E, Venable, V as in Victor, and Victory, hallelujah, V-E-N-A-B-L-E, Pastor Robert Venable. It'll take you to our website, the Holy Church of God Incorporated, and you can just peruse the sermons there at your leisure. And if you decide you want to download a recent edition of Let's Talk About Jesus, or see a sermon topic that you would like to listen to as God's Word comes under the anointing, we're just so grateful for the people who visit us, and we're grateful for you today. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 17. We're talking about heaven, a preview of good things to come, so that we can live with courage and expectancy. Praise God. I said it last week, I'm going to say it again before we read our text today from the book of Revelation. If you want to hear a good sermon about heaven, you almost have to go to a funeral to hear it. And that shouldn't be. We should be Christians with our focus on things above. And Jesus clearly told us, I go to prepare a place for you. We want to talk about that place out of the book of Revelation. What's it going to be like in heaven? What will we be experiencing when we get to heaven? And so this is an important message, and I believe that according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, in particular, 1 and 2, we are admonished to keep an attitude of heart that is always looking homeward. And for Christians, that long home, that eternal home, is heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we know that that the new Jerusalem is coming down. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. But while we are here on this side of eternity, we are supposed to have a longing for heaven and for Him. Praise the Lord. The Bible said in Colossians, and we're just doing this before we read to set a context for the text in Revelation 7, 9 through 17. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it said, if you be risen with Christ, if you have been born from above, born again, set your affection on things above and not the things of the earth, and seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, I want to see in my day a revival that brings the focus back on Jesus and back on the heavenly New Jerusalem and the soon coming of our great King. Praise the Lord. If you're a Christian today, you're supposed to have your heart set on heaven. Jesus taught where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. So make sure that you lay up your treasure in heaven, where the thief can't steal and the moth can't and rust does not corrupt. Praise God. This is eternal. This is everlasting. This is where we should be looking toward, especially in these days. Listen to me carefully. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation unto our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a place this is going to be. Verse 17 says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe all tears away from their eyes. Amen. What's it going to be like in heaven? First, last week we talked about the fact we will understand the greatness of God and His grace toward us. I don't want to spend more time there, but I want to make a statement once again. The overwhelming sense of holiness in that place, the holy city. John said, I didn't just see the beautiful city, the majestic city, the grand city, the city like no other city. When I saw the New Jerusalem coming down, he said, I saw the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. What struck John more than the beauty and the grandeur was the holiness of that place, because of the holy persons in that place. Amen. And when we stand in the presence of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in that holy city, there is going to be an overwhelming sense. Settle in immediately that we are not holy enough in and of ourselves to be in that place, that holy place with these holy people. The reason we're there, the only reason that we will be able to be there is because of what Jesus did on that old rugged cross and the power and sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. We sing that old song, "It washes white as snow." And friend, this is a purity that is brought to our heart through the blood of Jesus that makes us worthy of a place that we could never enter any other way. Praise God. But at the same time, we sense that momentary sense of unworthiness. We will sense, amen, the power of grace and what it has accomplished in our behalf because of what he did on the cross. And we'll never give it another thought because we will rejoice in the grace of God that has made this place our heavenly home and allowed us to have perfect fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this is a glorious gospel today. What Jesus has done for us at the cross is something that we will praise him for through all eternity. Amen. The second thing that's going to happen when we get to heaven is we will be on the other side of our struggles. And I don't know about you, but this is a pleasing thought to me. When it said, who are these? When we read our text and said, these are they who came over tribulation. And it didn't say just the great tribulation. It just said in the general sense, in the general term, these are those who have come through tribulation. And the Bible said through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. Did you know that the enemy of your soul will put up a battle? If you're not a Christian today, or if you are a Christian, you understand that there is an enemy. There is an Apollyon. There is a Satan. There is a devil who puts up a tremendous fight against us coming to Christ. And believe me, after you come to Jesus, the fight isn't over. The pressure is still brought to bear upon our lives, but we have victory in Jesus. Amen. Today there is an enemy that doesn't want you to listen to the rest of this broadcast if you're not a Christian. There's an enemy that doesn't want you to respond to the invitation, whether it be through this broadcast or in your local church on Sunday morning. You have an enemy of your soul. My Bible said of him that he's a murderer, and from the beginning he is a liar, and he can't even tell the truth. And he will lie and tell you you've got all the time in the world. He will lie and tell you that it's not worth giving up some sin and repenting of it to have Jesus as your Savior. But you need to understand, friend, that he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus said in this world you're going to have tribulation. Why? This is a fallen world, and we have an enemy of our soul that will never give up until we are safe and secure in God's holy city. He will fight us every step of the way. But when you receive Christ as your Savior, he will lose that battle. And I'll tell you something else that can defeat him. If you decide you want to come to Christ, if you decide you want to lay down your sin, all of heaven's resources will line up behind you. You don't have to do this in yourself and by yourself. That's why I love the great hymn. We close with it on piano every day of this broadcast when it's at the end of it, as I make an invitation, as actually the Holy Spirit makes the invitation as well, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am so glad that there is victory in Jesus, and you can come to him just like you are today. If you want to be saved, God wants to save you, and he will move every obstacle in the way if you show him a genuine will for a change to come. There's victory in Jesus. This battle is won at the cross in our behalf. Praise God. Listen, friend, all of these struggles and testings, we'll be on the other side of them. It sure seems like the struggle has become more intense lately. everywhere it seems I turn, there are people going through very difficult times. In my own life, it's sometimes a real effort to keep putting one foot in front of the other. There are days when I feel that that tribulation that is the result of living in a fallen world in faulty bodies, and we feel the pressure and the tension that every Christian feels. And I have to turn to God and cry out to Him, and He gives me sweet victory. Praise the Lord. And that is why this passage is such an encouragement to me. You know, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That word tribulation that He used in the New Testament Greek is thelpsis, and it means anguish and pressure. That all of these persecutions and trouble and trials and tests come. In this world, you're going to experience that. But cheer up. Don't get discouraged. I'll help you through it. I've went before you. I've overcome it. Praise God. It reminds me that the struggle will not go on forever, though, even though it may seem like it. In our passage, John asked those white-robed people are. He's told these are they who have come out of great tribulation. Not the great tribulation necessarily, but out of great tribulation. These are the ones who have survived the trials of life. These are the ones who have remained faithful even though life was painful and hard. These are the believers who kept the faith. This picture gives us strength. It keeps us focused and will keep us going on. Keep us, I like to use the term, keep on keeping on. Praise the Lord. It is tough to keep running if you don't see a purpose. In fact, I have heard that one of the most devastating punishments in a concentration camp is when the captors make their prisoners do meaningless labor. Dig a hole, fill it back up. They might have them move a pile of rock to one spot and then to the next and then back. It is labor without a purpose, and eventually it eats away at a person's willingness to go on. I've often wondered why people run in marathons. Most know they have no chance of winning. During the race, they encounter cramps, they battle exhaustion, and for a time, some even get dehydrated. They spend months punishing themselves and depriving themselves in preparation for this long, exhausting journey. Why? Most tell me it's because of the joy of surviving and satisfaction that comes when you cross that finish line. It's not the winning, it's the surviving and conquering that brings such joy. That description does not inspire me, by the way, to take up running. But it does help me understand what it'll be like in heaven. We run now for the glory of finishing the course. Praise God. Listen to what motivated the great Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8. You can tell his focus is squarely on heaven. And he's facing martyrdom, but he's ready to run the last leg of his earthly race. Listen to this with joy and triumph. I don't see anything in this but victory. Praise the Lord for him. Listen, he said, for I am now ready to be offered. Literally, this term offered is referring to the drink offering back in the Old Testament that was poured out completely as a sacrifice. He said, my life is like a drink offering poured out before the Lord, and I want it to be poured out to the last drop. He said, I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them who love His appearing. There is no defeat in anyone's life, even at the end of it, when we're running with purpose. Someone has simply defined grace and mercy to differentiate that grace is grace. God doesn't give you what you deserve, and mercy, God doesn't give us what we do deserve. But I'm telling you, because of God's grace and mercy, we can run this race with patience, as the Bible begins to tell us. Running with patience the race that is set before us. Paul doesn't say that it had been easy. It was a fight, but he's still standing. The thing that kept him going, the thing that keeps us going, is knowing that someday we'll stand before the throne. Then it will be worth it all. On that day, the race will be over. We will have crossed the finish line. And as we run the race of life, we need to keep that day in our minds. You know, sometimes you can't hardly get through this day unless you have your heart set on that day. Paul said the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us on that day. Praise God. When we cross that finish line, hallelujah, when we're absent from the body and present with the Lord, when we see the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, and we get a sense of eternity sweeping over us, an everlasting life, this frail body puts on immortality. Praise God. Friend of mine, what a day, wonderful day that will be. Praise the Lord. I hope you're motivated to run the race that is set before you. Amen. And the third thing that we're going to experience is a life that we never dared to imagine. Revelation 7:15 through 17, I want you to listen. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in the temple, in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Literally, pitch his tent or spread his tent over them is what that means in the Greek. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto ever to living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 21:3-4, we read similar words. Listen carefully. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, the holy city. Did you get that? The New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. If you've known someone that suffered with some devastating disease and they were in great pain and discomfort, I want you to know when we get to heaven, it'll never happen again. If you've been up all night walking the floor with a toothache, then when you get to heaven, never going to happen. If you've ever had a migraine when you get to heaven, never going to happen. If you've met Arthur, that mean rightus boy, arthritis, and you know the pain that can come sometimes, I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, never going to happen again. If you've ever had a broken heart, when you get to heaven, never going to happen again. When you felt the terrible loss of a loved one and your heart has been broken, I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, you'll never feel that again. It says, for the former things are passed away. Literally, one translation says, all of that is gone forever. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise the Lord. Do you hear what's being said? There's a day coming when we'll no longer hunger or thirst in our belly, or stuff in our house, resources at our disposal, prices for our crops, knowledge in our head, depth to our love, and end to our loneliness. Those longings will have been satisfied completely and fully in Him. We will no longer battle forces of nature. No more mud, no more tornadoes, no more sunburn, no more winter storms, no more mosquitoes or flies. Nature will yield only joy. We will no longer have reason to cry except for joy. No more sorrow, no more disappointment, no more devastating losses, no more bullies. We will never have to bury someone we love again. We will know forgiveness, not only being set free from punishment, I think we'll also be set free in our memories. The scars will be healed. The guilt will be silenced. The stain will be gone. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. There will be no more cancer, no more arthritis, no more flu. There will be no need of glasses, none of the limitations of getting older. No more frustration, disappointment, or failure. There will be no more using people to get ahead and no one using us. No more hurtful words, no hatred. We haven't begun to build an exhaustive list, but the point is simple. In that coming day, we'll be granted the life we've always longed for. It's a life we didn't think possible, but it was God who placed that hunger in our heart for that kind of life. And someday, someday, He's going to satisfy it. Praise the Lord. We should live differently, friend, in light of the glory that awaits us. What is your focus for living? Are you anchored to the present or to the future? If everything you had was lost, would you feel that you had nothing? Or would you still feel that you had everything you needed in Christ? Thank you, Lord, for tomorrow. Let me ask you some questions in closing. Personal questions. Listen, in light of what's ahead, how do you now define what's really important? In light of heaven, how will you deal with the difficult times and people differently? In light of what's ahead, will you change your approach to your non-Christian friends and family? What effect does the promise of heaven have on all your anxieties? How do thoughts of heaven affect the choices you make regarding possessions and enjoyments? How will these truths affect your enthusiasm for living? Friend of mine, I want to live for God like I've never lived for God. I came to Christ at 12 years old. My mother and my dad went through a devastating divorce. I became bitter at both of them, and I literally fell away until I was 21. But when I came back to the Lord, I'll tell you, from 21 to 62, I have never felt a hunger for Him and for heaven like I feel in my soul right now. I want to see a mighty revival in America sweep across the land and in every church where we get excited again about Jesus, excited about being saved, and excited about the place that we're going to live forever and forever. Praise the Lord. I am so glad today to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with this certain hope to bring. And today, friend, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're going to miss heaven if you go on like you're going. God is calling you today. I am convinced that God is calling you to salvation, that the Holy Spirit is right there where you are, and that He stands ready right now to bring you to Christ. If you will open the door of your heart, I believe Jesus is knocking. While I've been preaching, I believe Jesus has been knocking. And the book of Revelation says He doesn't just knock, but if any man hears His voice and open the door, Christ said, I will come in. I will come in and I will sup with Him and Him with me. Hallelujah. Today, when that happens in your life, the sins that you thought you couldn't do without, when you sup with Him, He sups with you. That's the longing of your soul. That's why you've been trying so many unfulfilling ventures and sins. You've been looking for the living water that only Jesus can give. Would you repent of your sin today? Would you invite Jesus into your heart today, right where you are? He promised to come in, friend. And the first thing you will experience is the peace of God and fellowship you'll sense His presence in your heart and in your life. The Bible said He'll write your name in His book of life, and that will make you a bona fide citizen of heaven while living here on this earth. Heaven will record your citizenship. Oh, we love you today. If you've done that, why don't you come to our website, leave us a little testimony. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.